Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking firsthand. We'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired and motivated to take your business to the next level. Today, I'm speaking to Sheila Greco, founder and CEO of SGA Talent based in Saratoga. Hello, Sheila. Thank you for your time.
Hello. How are you?
So let's talk a bit about how you got started. So now you're CEO, owner of a recruitment firm here. How did you get started in this career?
Well, I was actually in New York City working for in a bond trader role. And it was a lot of fun. And I was actually at a cocktail party. And somebody said, oh, my God, you should be a recruiter. And I said, okay, what does that entail? And they told me what it was. And I was like, oh, my God, I love it. Went on a couple interviews, got the job, and the rest is history. So I started off working for Goodrich & Sherwood in New York City, moved with them to Greenwich, Connecticut. And then in 1989, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So I moved home. And actually, I was fortunate enough to have one of my clients put me into business. So in 1989, I hung my shingle. I started off as a sole proprietor, and within about 3 years, I hired 5 people, and 4 of which are still with me today. So I have a lot of longevity in the organization, and we started off as a research house, mostly doing organization chart structures and name generation for corporations to do their recruiting. And along the way, our clients just said, why aren't you doing recruiting? Why aren't you doing competitive intelligence? So our company basically just, whenever our clients would take us someplace, we'd be offering another service line to help them. And so we did, let's see, been in executive recruiting or recruiting since 1989. And in 2022, I was offered to start a staffing business for hospitality. I knew nothing about it. And a friend of mine said, Sheila, you're going to be, you and your team are going to be staffing the Saratoga racetrack. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know anything about it. And I embraced it, put together a small team, and we have been doing the racetrack ever since. We're doing it every year. And the hospitality team, I love, absolutely love the industry. Everybody's extremely passionate and really helpful to one another. So now on the hospitality staffing side, we're working, and we've been to Vegas a couple of times doing F1, Formula One. We did the Super Bowl. We're doing a little piece of the Super Bowl this year. So we're doing PGA, and we do a lot of large events. And we also work for colleges doing their food service. And then we also do a lot of work for outdoor festivals and corporations as well. So that business is a lot of fun, and we're having a great time. And like I said, I love the industry. And then we also opened up, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So in 2023, someone came to me and said, why don't you start a healthcare staffing business? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, what do we need to do? And then the rest is history. So the way our organization is we have the recruiting is recruiting, right? Whether you're doing it for temporary staffing or you're doing it for full-time executive recruiting, is still recruiting. So right now we have 3 divisions. We have the executive recruiting division, which is full-time. We have 2 staffing organizations. One is healthcare, one's hospitality. And I have the best team that anybody can ever ask for. Everybody on our team, like I said, I have 4 or 5 people that are still with us from inception time on. And I have a group of other people who continue to inspire me. I continue to mentor. We continue to have a lot of fun. Been through a lot of ups and downs, been through recessions, COVID, mm-hmm. whatever. And we're still standing strong. And I have to say it's because of the team I have. So fast forward today, we're still having fun. I'm passionate. I love what I do. And I get up in the morning. You never know what the crazy day is going to look like, but that keeps me going. Mm-hmm. And again, I have the best team.
That sounds great. That's a great success story.
Thank you.
So when you mentioned that you went into like staffing for the track and you didn't know anything about it, you've, like that's where a lot of business people will say, okay, I'm not going there. There's too much risk. I don't know. I don't want to go into an area that I'm uncomfortable in. Mm-hmm. But you went for it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think enables you to do that? How can you advise other business people to take chances like that?
Well, first of all, you have to be a risk taker, right? And both of my parents were entrepreneurs too. So it's sort of in my blood.
That helps.
It helps out a lot. So you have to be able to really, before I jump in wholly, I do a lot of research on the industry, a lot of research of its viability. And then what I'll do is I'll just go all in. So when I'm all in, I'm really all in. Mm-hmm. And that means really pulling together what it takes to be successful, what you need as far as people, personnel, licenses and things like that. I truly understand how someone's successful. I interview a lot of people in the industry like I did. I have to say that there's a gentleman that's currently a competitor, and I still to this day call upon him. I call him my mentor, and so I try to really understand the business fully before I jump in. But I do reach out to people in the industry, and I ask them what the challenge is, what's good about it. So before really jumping into something, I try to really understand it first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be all in, because if you only do it halfway, it's, you know, whatever. And I always say you have to be a little lucky too, right? Mm-hmm. Work hard and luck is a great combination. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's so good.
Yeah.
So those are great points. So we got do your research,
mm-hmm.
get a mentor, don't be shy about asking other people, even if they may be deemed competitors,
mm-hmm.
for advice,
mm-hmm.
and go all in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going all in.
And then I like to give back too. So when people call mm-hmm. me up and say, what are your thoughts? And I'll say, these are my thoughts. I'm not going to say whether it's wrong or right, but this is what I would do. And I make suggestions, and I love to mentor people and
mm-hmm.
just be transparent and tell them what it's really like.
Mm-hmm. And talking about competition, because I think this is another way where people get stifled, is worrying too much about the competition.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get around that?
What I do, again, I have the research mindset because mm-hmm. that's where I started. I literally will put together the top 3 or 4 companies that are my competition
mm-hmm.
and truly understand them, like really map it out. Mm-hmm. Why are they successful? What are they offering? Are we going to be offering the same thing? How can I how can I compete against them? How can I work alongside them? So it's all about really understanding the competition mm-hmm. and being a little bit better.
And you do that as a service.
Yeah, we do.
Your competitive analysis.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So whenever you start something new, it's really, mm-hmm. it really pays off to understand the size of the business, the challenges of entry, what it makes people successful, why people are successful, why people failed, really understanding the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you have to really talk to you have to talk to the competitors themselves. And mm-hmm. not everybody's going to talk to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, those who do, you give back, right?
Yeah.
There's so much business to go around. It doesn't matter. And I've always been like that. If I can help you, you call me.
Yeah.
You help me.
Yeah. Because there's some customers that are just going to be better for you, or you're going to be better for them mm-hmm. than others, and vice versa. So
I'll be the first one to tell our potential clients, if our team can't do it, I'm going to tell you and I'll refer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fail. Although, you know, sometimes you do fail, right? I mean, that's just a course of work and business. But if it's something we're not strong at, I don't even want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship is worth more.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. You got examples to show it to as well.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And so a lot of times I do find too that finding a niche can be like make or break for the success of a business. Mm-hmm. So you found some certain areas that have been a good niche for you.
On the staffing side,
yeah. Yes.
I feel like on the staffing side, you have to be pretty much really focused in different industries, right? Versus executive recruiting. On the executive recruiting and recruiting side, recruiting is a process. Mm-hmm. So whether you're recruiting an engineer or scientific or distinguished engineer for a FANG company, or whether you're doing it for a startup, recruiting is a process. So I don't think industry experience or industry... We're sort of industry agnostic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're generalists when it comes to recruiting full-time yeah. people. But for staffing, I think it's extremely important to be focused
mm-hmm.
and really to go into that niche. Because their specialties and experiences people mm-hmm. really need when they're for contracting, you know, for doing that type of
work. Yeah. So the difference between recruiting and staffing is staffing more like part-time or temporary mm-hmm. people?
Mm-hmm.
It depends. So as needed. So like with hospitality, there's events. So you don't need someone full-time, but you need people for events. That's what staffing is?
That's what staffing is. So what we normally do, and we can, you know, talk about the staffing side on the hospitality side. What we'll do is our clients will come to us and say, here's our upcoming need. And what separates us from other staffing agencies is the fact that we're actually proactively going out and recruiting a team specific for that event or specific to that college. So in this business, there tends to be some call outs. So we try to create a talent pool that is like a third to a half the amount that's actually requested. Because people do fall out, and people come to us and continue to come to us because we overstaff and we have a talent pool, right? As opposed to just, only fulfilling the needs that they have. But what we do is we can say we have a talent pool in a specific area, but what separates us is we build talent pools specific to each client
mm-hmm.
and their needs and their event and.
And that's where industry is important.
Extremely, yeah.
Because, I mean, they need to be suited.
Yeah. Then bartenders, servers, cooks. I mean, those people really are very specific as opposed to an engineer who has the skill sets at one company that's transferable to another. Mm-hmm. So that's how it is.
Okay. And healthcare as well.
Healthcare, I mean, a nurse is a nurse, an LPN is an LPN, a CNA is a CNA. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's very specialized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's very interesting.
But what's nice about us is everything we do is we're proactively recruiting, mm-hmm. all right? And we get a lot of, I would say two-thirds of our staff is all through referrals. And we always say A's actually refer A's.
Yeah.
So when we get a really good person, I'm like, okay, who are your top three friends, you know? So we try.
So I find that with getting referrals from customers.
Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Same. And mm-hmm. I'm happy to say 99.9% of our business is through referrals across all three businesses.
But your good customers are probably going to bring you more good customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they take us wherever they go, mm-hmm. which is nice. So that's why we are generalists as opposed to, because we could have one client currently working at Procter & Gamble, and then all of a sudden, you know, she moves over to Nestle's and she'll take us, or she'll move over to a construction company mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. So our clients tend to take us.
We're lucky with them. Yeah.
Yeah. We're very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I wanted to speak with someone in this industry is that almost every business person that I speak with, when I ask them what their challenges are, the first thing that comes to mind is recruitment, staffing, keeping people, finding people. So what are some tricks? Do you have any tricks or advice for people and whether they should be using a firm like yours, or when's the time when it's like best to call you?
Right from the beginning. It really is. I mean, for certain roles, you can just post on Indeed and LinkedIn and things like that. But really, when you want somebody that has the specific skill sets that you're looking for, it really is cost effective, believe it or not, to actually go to someone like ourselves to do the recruiting. Because again, I mean, we are our process is very focused, very streamlined, and we can usually get candidates within 5 to 10 days, as opposed to going up against a job board where, you know, you have many people spending time just looking through resumes that aren't even good for the roles, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so I can't say we do not compete against job boards or things like that, but it's always the best time to turn to a recruiter if you're really, if you want to get it done quickly mm-hmm. and with get some really good candidates. But I'm not bashing any job boards or anything like that because they do serve a purpose.
Yeah.
So do recruiters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there a certain job level, like say like entry level versus management level versus executive level, that you think it's more important to be using a firm, recruitment firm, or do you think
it's all across the board? I mean, you know, we're working with a large pharmaceutical company right now that's getting ready to launch a new product. So we're helping them recruit sales reps, right, with 1 or 2 years of experience to help them gain exposure and get feet on the ground in specific areas. So, you know, that's a little lower level. If you're looking for an accountant, people come to us all the time looking for an accountant, right, 1 to 2 years experience. So I would say you can use a recruiter at any point in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even locally, we're doing some accounting roles right here, actually in Lake George, for some hotels and things like that in the area. And I just think at any point in time, I always tell people, why don't you just have a conversation with us, mm-hmm. pros and cons, and then you decide whether or not you want to try it on your own first or come to us.
They can get in touch with you and have a conversation with you, no fee.
No fee, just nothing. And I will be the first one to say, you know what, why don't you try it on your own, see what happens. Or, you know what, maybe it makes sense. If you really need somebody right now, this type of experience, let us, you know, set us loose and we'll get you some candidates quickly. So it really depends upon the company, the industry. You know, sometimes smaller companies look at a recruiting firm as an expense. And so they struggle with it, right?
Yeah.
They have an HR person who's doing multiple things in their management team. Who has time to do recruiting? But the cost of not having buddy sitting in a seat seems to be a lot, you know, a lot higher than just the expense of a recruiter. So, but again, you want to just sit and talk with people and say, you tell me, I'm not going to, I want you to decide, but here's the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's going to vary from company to company. It really does.
Yeah. And so as the, and the person that would be looking for a role, mm-hmm. what kind of advice would you have?
Networking. Because right now people are applying directly to jobs and there are hundreds of applicants going towards for one job, right? I mean, that's clear. If you just go on LinkedIn, you take a look at all the people, it actually shows you if there's 100 people applying for the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. I would say that, God, and you have a lot, you have a much better chance of getting a job through a recruiter or through a referral.
Mm-hmm.
So you constantly have to network, even if you're at a baseball
game. You're not one of
all kids.
Mm-hmm.
Separate
the safer.
Yeah. Emails.
Emails being great.
Yeah. I mean, I had a marketing person about 6 months ago. She was funny. So she was out of a job for a while. She was a chief marketing officer. And what she did is she was going for a consumer packaged goods company. And she actually put together a box of all the different items that the company sells and saying, I actually used to play with these when I was younger. And she sent it to the person to whom this reported to. She got an interview like that,
mm-hmm.
because she separated herself from the pack. And needless to say, she was trying to network her way in. And then she said, the heck with this. I'm going to go directly to the top, try and be creative. And, you know, she didn't get the job, but at least she got the interview. They filled it from within. So, I mean, but at least networking and doing something different, separating yourself from the pack is a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say don't apply for jobs because, you know, people get jobs every day that way. But, you know, you got to be a little bit different. And networking.
Yeah. And especially at the higher levels.
Oh, higher levels. Yeah. Definitely.
It's a whole different ball game.
Whole different ball game. Yeah. It's who you know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Really is.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah,
very good point. So any other tips for businesses? Like I said, that everyone's saying this is like the toughest thing. Like, do you give advice on once they get the people in, how to keep them? Do you get into that?
A little bit.
I mean, like having a good onboarding system or things like that.
Yeah, it's very, what people don't sometimes understand is you have to take care of your people. You want to hire the right people, but you have to take care of them. So along the way, I think managers have a lot to do with keeping people engaged and on board. So it's very important that the managers are constantly mentoring, giving them feedback, letting them know, you know, hey, what's your next step? Really being totally involved. And, you know, sometimes they don't have time to do that, but one way to retain people is to let them know where they stand, what their career potential may be. And then obviously constantly just giving them education, ways to better themselves professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it costs the cost for new hire outweighs the cost of
people. I was just going to say.
So it's important. And even on a smaller scale, even, you know, smaller companies have to work a little bit harder to keep people, right? Because maybe they don't pay as well as the larger companies, but more and more, as we're seeing after COVID, people really want to have a work-life balance. And I think smaller companies sometimes can offer that. So as long as you treat your people well, let them know where they are and pay them well, you should be able to retain them. Okay.
What is the importance of having other benefits? Because I know when people are weighing up between jobs and they're looking at like healthcare, you know, matching funds with your retirement plan and things like that. Do you see that really making a difference versus just regular compensation?
You know, I think nowadays everybody offers everything, right? It's especially New York State, right? You have to for the most part. But no, I think it may be instead of 3% match, they're giving 5% match. But I think nowadays most companies are offering, I mean, even we are, right? We're a small company. You have to offer healthcare and you have to be able to give so much. Well, New York State requires you to give so much. You have to offer 401k, simple, whatever it may be. And I know our company, we don't even say you have 3 weeks, 4 weeks vacation. We just say you have to take time. As long as you're doing your job, do it. So those types of benefits people like to see. I think more and more companies are turning in that direction. And, you know, I'll continue on. You asked the question, what about remote work, right?
That was another, that's another hot topic. We've got a couple of hot topics to discuss today. And yeah, so remote work being one of them. The company that I used to work for, because it's a multinational printing company, and during COVID, they went remote, and now people will not come back until they've moved.
I know.
So it's a dilemma. And now people are feeling that the people need to start getting back into the office. Do you think that's going to be an issue with staffing, keeping staff, or...
Well, staffing is different, right? But I mean,
oh, yeah.
Okay, so employees, you know, I don't know. I really think some roles can be done from home and done remotely. I think other roles you really need to be in the office.
Yeah.
And my suggestion is, and God, I'm probably going to regret saying this, I think you can learn a lot being around the water cooler. Right? You can learn a lot just by listening to people in the office. But, you know, for some roles, you don't need that, right? I mean, if you're in a sales role, do you really need to be in the office? Probably not. If you're in an IT role, do you really need, you know, so there are different functional areas that you can work remote, but for accounting, you really need to almost be there. You know, in recruiting, I think it could be either way. You could work remote or on site. We've always had everybody in the office, and we also work as a team.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a lot more to be said for working as a team, being together.
Yeah.
But I can't weigh one way or the other whether it's better to work remote or not. I the jury's out with me.
Yeah. I think each different company's got to look at what their case is and why it's important or not important, because they need to communicate that then to their staff in order to sway them, explain to them why this is important or what the requirements are if they're not going to be coming in. But like, I don't know how many times I've learned from the guy in the cubicle next to me making a mistake or doing something great that I'm like, oh, wow, I need to do that. Or, oh, no, I got to be careful not to do that, where you're not going to be seeing those things anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'll tell you, I don't want to be one of these old ladies that's like, you got to be in the office.
Now, like I said, there's a lot of different roles that don't require you to come in. However, I think it's still beneficial for the reasons you brought up to be in an office at least 3 days, 4 days, whatever. I like 5 days personally. But if they want to work from home, you can really learn more being and seeing and hearing and experiencing.
Yeah.
But I don't know where to shake out. I mean, a lot of companies are asking people to come back to work.
Yeah.
We'll know more in a couple of years.
I mean, I guess owners and senior management are the ones that need to really look at it, their scenario.
Yeah.
Because I interviewed a boutique law firm.
Okay.
That are women owned, and they're very highly stressing the quality of life being as important and how they feel that adds to their value as a law firm, as employers, but also as lawyers for people. But I said, but isn't it a bit more difficult to manage? Right. Because they're not making people, like, they're not pushing billable hours. Right. They're saying that your time that you spend learning things and talking to people is valuable, and it shouldn't be deemed less valuable than client billable time. And I said, but don't you have to manage more just to make sure that doesn't get out of hand? And she said, I guess so, but
yeah, see, some
they think it's important.
It is important.
I mean, it's the same thing with hiring.
As a woman, I mean, you know, whether you're a woman, it's very important right now. I mean, my son just recently had a child, and my nephew, and he did too, and it's totally different. The guys are all in on their babies now. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know whether it's I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, work-life balance is very important. Why shouldn't it be?
Yeah.
You know, why shouldn't it be?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you live where you're near your work, you can go to work.
Maybe. Yeah.
But like during COVID, like we were saying, people moved away, and then now having to move back, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's going to shake out, but I am all about work-life balance, but you still have to do a job. And if you like your job, you want to do it really well. So whether you're at the office, not at the office, that's something you can't teach, right?
It's about getting the job
done.
Yeah.
You can't teach work ethic.
Yeah.
So if you're here, you're not at the office, you're at the office, you're still going to get it done. I don't know. Like I said, I have pros and cons every day. What works and what doesn't.
That was
I didn't answer your question, did I?
I didn't even remember what the question was. Oh, hybrid and working and remote and having an answer. So it's a different case.
Yeah.
Each organization's got to work that out for themselves and how they're going to make the most of it.
Right.
Another question that we're not going to get political, but it's going to impact your industry, but also every industry now, is that for our whole lifetime, diversity has started to become an issue more and more. And now it had finally become something that was like a daily talking point, diversity. And now it's like, nope, no more diversity.
I don't know. That's true.
But I don't think it's true. It's not true. But it's now become such in just a couple of weeks, it's become a very negative connotation, where before it was considered so important. Like someone came, the head of HR for Arrow Bank spoke to the Lake George Chamber of Women in Business about diversity and how diversity up in upstate New York and Lake George region is a little bit different, and that we're talking about older people and women and people with physical disabilities and things like that, that there's diversity is always sort of an issue to think about. Do you see that changing at all? Or where do you see that being still important?
Well, diversity is always important, right? I mean, being a woman and owning a woman-owned business. And when we do recruiting, right from day one, I always ensured that we had women and diverse professionals in the talent pool that we proactively go after and recruit, because women will take a look at a job spec and be less apt to apply. But when you're presenting them with a role and you say, hey, you know what, you might be good, let's give it a shot. By doing that, you're actually introducing a talent pool that has diversity in it. And then more of diverse candidates will get hired. But at the end of the day, the person who's right for the job is going to get hired.
Yeah, it's still the best candidate.
It has to be.
Yeah,
it really does.
But it's just having these others' considerations in mind so that you've got like a wider pool to pull from.
Yeah.
But you're also enabling a diverser group of people to put themselves out there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it also gives the hiring managers and the hiring team a good group of people to look at, right? A more diverse, wide range, whatever, and then they can pick and choose it. You know, always you're going to compare and contrast the talent, and you're going to go with the best candidate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because your workforce may be diverse.
Yeah.
And having diversity in management, diversity in all areas is going to probably be the best fit. But yeah, it's a multifaceted question. Yeah.
It is.
And it's not going to go away.
In some functional areas, there's just fewer women, right? Like engineering or in sales, you know, you don't have as many women doing it. So, you always want to hire the best person for the job. You want to introduce a wide range of potential candidates that can do the job.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. You have more chance of placing somebody if you've given them a wider pool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Good to hear. One of the things you kind of touched on before, too, was the right candidate. Something I've been thinking about recently is I was advising a client of mine on hiring. What qualities beyond specific skill sets that are needed for a job? What are the most important qualities that you should look for? Like, I feel like showing that someone has integrity, you know, loyalty, and those sorts of things. Do you have sort of a list of those that you guys use when you're evaluating candidates?
Yeah. So what we do typically when we have what's called the kickoff call, and we'll talk to our clients. So we'll take a look at the job description, discuss the job description, and then we'll say, what are the musts, the needs, the wants for the role? Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about what's the culture of your organization. What is the hiring manager? What is he or she really like? What types of individuals are they looking for? And we look for the soft skills, right? Soft skills are extremely important nowadays. And then also what's very important too is really somebody's career journey that has the same skill sets. I think now there's more skill-based recruiting going on than ever before. So someone has the skills you need, but they don't have exactly what's on the job description. We talk about those as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's transferable skills, soft skills, adaptability, integrity, like you said. And then we also really, when we're searching for people, we want to make sure that their long-term goals and short-term goals match that of the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cultural fit as well.
Yeah. I was just thinking that cultural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fitting into the company culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's very important.
Exactly.
So it's important for a business to have that defined.
Oh, absolutely.
Because so many don't. That's another thing that I kind of push with my clients, that you need to have clarity with what your mission is and where each person fits into that,
mm-hmm.
and communicate that clearly.
Right. And that starts at the top, yeah. too. So I'm sure they're you know, the CEO and the people, the executive team, they pretty much know what they're looking for. And they are the cult. They're just basically talking about the types of people who succeed within that organization may not succeed at another. So, right, defining what their mission is, defining their corporate culture, their mission, and things like that are standing out nowadays. And a lot of candidates are basing their decisions on companies' missions,
yeah.
the culture, and the management team.
Yeah.
They are.
So I think the biggest pitfall is when a company is desperate and will hire just whoever might kind of fit into it, and then they end up not working out and going through that again.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth taking the time, and vice versa for a candidate.
Absolutely.
To not just take whatever comes their way. The waiting it out is definitely a better long-term
absolutely
solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think companies are taking, and I know candidates are for sure, they're interviewing the hiring team and the people that they're going to go work for just as much as the hiring team is hiring.
Which is smart.
Yeah. But it makes for a better long-term
yeah.
relationship, right? So I do not advise anybody to be desperate and just hire the first, you know, they breathe. Let's not do that. Take the time, interview them. If you have any questions about who they are, bring them back. You have to take your time because cultural fit, integrity, and things like that really do play a big role in person success at a company, just like their skill sets do.
Do you recommend that businesses have sort of an ongoing kind of recruitment process just to have see who might be out there, even if there isn't an open position?
Mm-hmm. We actually, there are clients that come to us and we call them, they keep us retained. And we're constantly doing what's called building engaged talent pools. And what that basically is we go into companies that they love to recruit from. We'll talk to different people at different levels, different functional areas, really get an understanding of who they are. And if they're good for our client, we'll keep them really warm. And then I always tell the people in our recruiting team, those too, when you're ready to make a move, we want to be your first phone call to see if this company might have a need. Because there's opportunistic hiring when that happens. Mm-hmm. You want to get to those really good A players before the competition does. So yeah, there really is so many benefits of building and continuously recruiting, right, to fill the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the downturn a little bit, a lot of talent acquisition teams were doing that. So they're positioning themselves for the future. And I think that's a smart way.
Yeah.
To do recruiting.
Yeah. Because your ideal candidate may not be available at the moment you have the, like, what are the, it's like the lottery. What are the chances of that happening?
Well,
it happens. It does happen. We're talking about ideal, like the ideal fit. How often does that happen? I guess we like to think it happens all the time.
I know, right?
But it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
But like that unicorn.
Yeah. You're looking for a unicorn, sort of tough, right?
Yeah.
But having the engaged talent communities, it really does help for companies for doing some really good.
And that's where like networking comes in good, because you get to meet more people that you might not see otherwise. They may not be applying for jobs. And then you meet them and you think, oh, that would be a good person for my organization.
Yeah. See, all we do is passive recruiting. So we are actually going out and introducing opportunities to people, as opposed to, them coming to us and saying, I'm looking for a job.
You don't have a bunch of listings on your website for people.
Staffing, you do.
Yeah.
But for the recruiting, no.
You don't. Yeah.
We're actually actively going out there and seeking
mm-hmm.
the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the engaged talent community is.
Yeah.
Right. What we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Because you can get to them fast. The hiring is cheaper.
And just like your A talent knows other A talent,
mm-hmm.
so then you're building a pool sort of organically that way. Then
it's beautiful. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think companies should spend time or having a dedicated team doing nothing but building engaged talent pools mm-hmm. of potential candidates. It saves time, it saves money. It gets the seat filled with people that want to work for you, and you know them, you know what I mean? So it's pretty quick.
Yeah. And as a digital marketer, I've tried to get businesses to be ongoing recruiting, always having
good
stuff on their website about it, and also profiles of employees and great things employees have done, just to show what a great place it is to work.
I'm smart.
Very few people do it, though.
I know.
Because it's one more thing that like they feel like selling themselves and selling their products are more important. But I try to stress that like, yeah, but your team is equally important. You should be using all of your digital marketing, all of your marketing and communications to also show what a great place you are to work.
Agreed.
And attract.
Agreed. I mean, smaller companies probably have a little bit more of a challenge than the large companies, right? But it's well worth the investment.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree with you.
So hopefully we'll see more of that. It's not that difficult to do. Just add it in one day a week.
Right.
Add a little bit more. Just have a more engaging careers or recruitment page on your website that's at least giving some information about your culture and, you know, send us your resume, just to see if it might be a good fit or not. But
again, the larger medium companies that understand the importance do have.
Yeah.
And again, it's just the smaller companies that have to take the time to do it. But it's a great idea. You're right. It's a great idea. And it's worth it.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we hit the hot topics.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you think would be important, or any other tips for businesses that are going to be starting to recruit for a new position? Or
I always say it doesn't hurt when you think you have an upcoming opening, it doesn't hurt to reach out to myself, to reach out to a recruiter and just say, what are your thoughts? Have an open dialogue with a recruiter and say, is this something I should try? What do you think? Because we're experts in that industry.
Yeah.
And use us. And if you decide not to use
us today. So whether they're deciding if you need a mid-level or two lower level people, that's the kind of thing that you could give them some advice on?
Yeah, I mean, you want to have a little bit of experience. I mean, what you're looking at least 2 years experience. Yeah. But, you know, because for entry level roles, a lot of times people are networking their way into those right out of college, right out of knowing their network, right? Their network, their family's network, their neighbor's network. That's how they get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're in the workforce for a couple of years and a company's looking to bring somebody on after a couple of years, taking 10, 15 minutes out of your day to find out whether I should use a recruiter or not, what's the cost, what's the pros, the cons, what do you think? And every situation's different.
Yeah. So it's worth having that conversation.
Absolutely.
Early on in the process.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to be stuck desperate to get somebody with, I need someone tomorrow.
It's
not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you want to include?
Nothing. I just want to say thank you. I think we hit all the hot buttons,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. And some real hot topics. So anything... plans for the future? Like, you've already added in some new niche areas, and that sounds like that's working out really well for you.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Anything can happen tomorrow, right? I'm always interested in looking at other things that complement what we currently do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know yet. Right now, we're focusing on what we're doing. We're having a blast.
We're going strong.
On the hospitality and the healthcare side, it's a lot of fun. You know, on the healthcare side, we do a lot of work with long-term care.
Right? Oh, okay.
And, you know, that touches something part of my heart.
Yeah.
Because I had a couple family members in those facilities, and it's like, you know what, they need help. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So to be able to work with a facility, bring in
good,
CNAs, LPNs with consistency, just makes me the happiest person on the face of the earth.
Well, that's really nice to see how your business can affect lives too. Yeah. It helps keep you motivated.
You got to be passionate.
Yeah.
And you got to work hard.
Right. So have passion, work hard.
And just be transparent.
Right. And don't be afraid to take chances.
No. No. That's it. No. No.
Go all in.
Go all in. Whatever you do, go all in. But learn about it. Ask people about it.
Mm-hmm.
What they did. And there's nothing wrong with interviewing people, saying, how'd you get there? And then follow their lead.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.